great future priest, Deacon Jacob.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, today I'll be speaking on the Feast of Trumpets. Now, the viewing of the seventh new moon starts the feast, or sets the Feast of Trumpets. Now, I have a calendar here. Now, this is Yahweh's first new moon. Then we have the second new moon, Yahweh's third new moon, the fourth new moon, this is the fourth new moon. It says fourth new moon here again, but that's the fifth new moon. This is the sixth new moon, and then the seventh new moon right here. And it begins the Feast of Trumpets. It says, watch tonight. Now, this is last year's calendar, because I wasn't able to get this year's. But this is the seventh new moon, and it sets the Feast of Trumpets. Now, the Feast of Trumpets is just like a Sabbath day. If you turn to Leviticus 23, Leviticus 23, verses 1 through 4. And it says, and Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them concerning the feast of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of Yahweh in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of Yahweh, his holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. Then it starts off, and it goes in, if you skip down to verse 7, it says, on the first day you shall have a holy convocation. This is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Then verse 8 says, the last day will be a holy convocation. This is the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You shall do no regular work on it. Then if you go to verse 21, and you shall proclaim on that same day that it may be a holy convocation to you, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of First Fruits, you shall do no regular work on it. Now we know this is the Feast of Pentecost. Then if you go down to verse 23, it says, and Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh moon, on the first of the moon, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of the trumpets, the Feast of Trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no regular work on it, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. So you see, it's just like a Sabbath, but instead we blow the ram's horns or the trumpets. Now here is a ram's horn, for those who didn't know what one looks like. This is a ram's horn that we blow on the Feast of Trumpets. Now, and also for those who didn't see the moon last night, you can see right there is the moon, the seventh new moon. Praise Yahweh. All right. Now, so we heard that it's just like a Sabbath and no work shall be done. If you turn to Numbers 29, Numbers 29, verse 1, it says, on the first day of the seventh moon, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no regular, customary work. It is a day for you to sound the trumpets, the Feast of Trumpets. So you see there that this is Yahweh's feast. The world has their holidays, but Yahweh has holy days, the Feast of Yahweh. And that's all the time I have, so if you all please stand. I'll turn it over, it's my honor and privilege to turn it over to the great Kahan Malachia Hawkins.
God praise Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Everyone joyful on the Sabbath day? Yeah, praise Yahweh. You know, the joy that we are experiencing right now on the Sabbath day, can we imagine how it will be the very first Sabbath in Yahweh Shema? You know how that will be? That very first Sabbath will be a very, very, very exciting Sabbath. That a Sabbath will go down in history forever. Just knowing, you know, all the saints of Yahweh gather at that time, and we being the last remnant to raise up all these six houses that were before us, you know, that will be a very, very exciting time. But what I'd like to do is just go back slightly on the sermon that was given 2 weeks ago, right? And even last week was, you know, it was expounded on. And that's, you know, the rainbow, you know, and the colors in the rainbow. The red signifying death, green, growth. The gold was a purification period. And right now we're in the color purple. Now, these four colors actually show how much the house of Yahweh have developed from that time, you know, to now. Now, this was taken from, now, we're looking at the stages that we were red, death, and right now to purple. Right now, this was taken from www.color/wheel/pro.com. We're speaking about a little bit about the color purple. So I said, purple combines the stability of blue and the energy of red. Now, I would like everyone to pay very close attention. The purple is associated with royalty, which we're quite familiar with. It symbolizes one, power. Now, when I'm calling out this, just imagine, go back on how much sermons Pastor brought on all these things, right? It symbolizes power, nobility, luxury, and ambition. It conveys wealth and extravagance. It's a purpose associated with one, wisdom. Remember the word wisdom, dignity and creativity, devotion and peace. So we see now exactly how much, you know, the color purple represents. Also, it said purple is a color of, well, they had good judgment, but great judgment. Right, purple also represents great judgment. Now, as we mentioned, you know, 2 weeks ago and last week, on the high priest's breastplate, we have the stone amethyst. And we know that that's the color purple, and it means to join close to Yahweh, to be in unity with Yahweh. Right, and it also represents the tribe of Issachar, Issachar. Now, Pastor, I'll call him not only a great priest, I'll call him a mighty priest. Right? And why I'll call him a mighty priest is because of this work that he is doing. Just imagine every single thing is dependent on Pastor to bring forth to finish up this great work. Right? He's the one that is finishing up this great work. But let me just read Psalms 8. Now, this is a prophecy that Pastor, it have no priest that was before him fulfill this prophecy here. He is the one that is going to fulfill this prophecy. Let's look at Psalm 8. Right, Psalms 8. It says, how excellent is your great name in all the earth, Yahweh, our sovereign king. It says, how excellent is Yahweh's name in all the earth. Now, what point in history Yahweh's name was excellent to all the earth? What point in history? None. No time in history. So Pastor is the one that is bringing back the excellence of Yahweh's name. He is the individual that will fulfill that prophecy. Now, the title of this sermon is Making Ourselves Ready to Meet Yahshua. Making Ourselves Ready to Meet Yahshua. And this is like a continuation from previous sermon, the last two sermons, you know, that I gave. And the meaning that I would like to use, or the meaning of the word ready that I'm going to use for this sermon is fully prepared. Right? Fully prepared or available for service. Right, fully prepared or available for service. Because qualifying for this office of purpose, it's all about conversion. We have to convert to qualify for this office. There are no two ways about it. Now remember the four steps, the four-step process to be received by Yahweh. The first one is repentance. Second one is conversion. The third one is baptism, and the fourth one is conversion. Now, when we see these four steps, when we take these four steps, it effectively puts us into contact with Yahweh. This is the only way we're going to get in contact with Yahweh. We have to go through these four steps. Okay? Now, when someone don't confess his sin, that individual is automatically removing themselves out of the covenant of Yahweh. That individual is removing themselves out of the covenant of Yahweh. That individual will not be in the priesthood. Must go through those four steps. If you're not confessing your sin, you're not going to be in that priesthood. Neither will you obtain eternal life. I wanted to make that very, very clear. Not going to be part of that priesthood. Now, let us look over. Let's take a book of Yahweh and turn over to page 753. That's not it here. And this is the parable of the wise and foolish virgin. It said, the kingdom of Yahweh may be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. So we see this was a preparation period. Verse 2 said, the five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps but took no oil with them. While the wise took oil in their jars with their lamp. Now, what made these five virgin wise? You know, what really made them wise? And no, the Apostle Shaul answered that question. He answered that question first. Let's look over to 2 Timothy. It's found on page 938. Right? What made these five virgin wise? 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. But for me, You have closely followed the teaching. This is what made them wise. They closely follow the teaching of Yahweh. They closely follow the teaching that comes from Israel Hawkins. That is what's going to make us wise. Right? They closely follow the teaching. Now, let's look over to Jacob 9, page 955. Now we're talking about wise. What made them wise? Jacob 3:13. He said, "Who is wise and understanding amongst you? Let him show it by his righteous conduct." You see, the very first thing he's talking about is our conduct. And conduct is merely the way someone behaves themselves. You know, they took this teaching and applied it to their conduct. That is what made them wise. All right, let us turn to 2 Thessalonians from page 931. 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians 1:2. It said, "Now I plead with you, brothers, concerning the coming of our King, Yahshua Messiah, and the gathering together to meet him, that you not be soon shaken in mind." Now, he said, don't be shaken in mind. Now, what he's showing us here is to keep our mind focused. This is what he's telling us here. Keep our minds focused, not being distracted from the goal that Yahweh have placed in front of us. Right? That purpose. Or I like to read a little about the office of the color purple. I know Pastor gave us this information, you know, years ago. You know, he gave us insight on this years ago. Reading from Why the Holy Garments. Are we talking about the color purple? On page 68, Pastor said, "The royal priesthood." Now he said, "Yekeskel the prophet, who foretold the change of the office of the high priest, also foretold the change of the Levitical priesthood in the new world." Yekeskel 44. Let us turn there. Yekeskel 44, verse 5. Say, "And he always said to me, son of man, mark well." So you see exactly, he start telling you, dividing what, who is going to be in what part of the temple. He said, "Mark well and see with your eyes and hear with your ears all that I say to you concerning all the ordinances of the house of Yahweh and all its laws." He said, "Mark well who may enter the house of Yahweh and all who are excluded from it, from the sanctuary." Right, Pastor goes on to say, the first ordinance was that no uncircumcised in heart or in flesh will enter his sanctuary. Over on page 69, he continued to say, the next ordinance Yahweh stated is a change of the Levitical priesthood. Yekeskel 44:10-14. Let's look at that. Yekeskel 44:10-14. "For even the Levites who went far away from me when Israel went astray, who wandered away from me after their gods Elohim, they will bear their consequences of their iniquity. Yet they will be servants in my sanctuary, having charge of the gates of the house of Yahweh, and serving in the house of Yahweh. They will slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they will stand before them." He said, "This Levitical priesthood will stand before them." That's a key thing to minister to them. because they ministered to them before their gods Elohim Teraphim, and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity, sin, transgression of the law. Therefore, I have lifted up my hands, vowing an oath against them, say Father Yahweh, that they will bear the consequences of their iniquity, and they will not come near me. He said, these people will not come near him to do the office of a priest to me, nor come near to any of my holy things, nor enter the most holy place. So you see, these people is excluded from the holy place. That's why he said, tell you, Kiskia, mark well who is going to enter what section. But they must bear the shame, their shame, for their abomination which they have committed. Therefore, I will appoint them keeper of the charge of the house of Yahweh for all the service of the house of Yahweh, and for all the work that will be done in it. Right? Now, Pastor getting into the royal priesthood now. Now, for to see where the Levitical priesthood was reinstated, for your notes, you can look at Romans chapter 11. We'll show the reinstatement, you know, of these people. Pastor goes on to say, in effect, the Levitical Aaronic priesthood is being denoted. In the New World, they will be doing what the Levites were first commissioned to do, to be helpers of the priests. We are then told who the royal priesthood will consist of. So it's getting into our time now. Continuing your Kiskia, he said, but only the priests, the Levites, the son of Zadok. Now, Pastor explain the son of Zadok here. He said the word son of Zadok is a play on words. The son of Zadok is, in effect, the sons of righteousness. So, you know, it come like when Yahweh said he would send Eliah, but meaning the laws and the prophecy. He said he will send Zadok, meaning the sons of righteousness. That's basically what he's saying. And the sons of Zadok is the sons of righteousness, but it means, which means the sons of the law. This is what it means, the sons of the law. We'll be priests in the new world, for we are training for the priesthood through righteousness at this very time. So we see this is what Pastor have been training us for so many years. All that 40 years or 40 years and more that he was in the wilderness, this is the office that he's training us to be. Right? This purple office. This is what he's training us right now. Right? And if you look back, that's why I refer him as a mighty priest. If you look back from where he started to Noah, right? How many people came and left, right? And Pastor still, every time he comes up here, he will still be, you know, training us and putting certain scriptures in our heads so we could fully understand the plan of Yahweh. So we can obtain that office that he's preparing for us. Yahweh already had that office for us. It's we ourselves had to make ourselves ready for that office. Right, we ourselves had to make ourselves ready for that office, because Pastor is doing every single thing for every individual to qualify for that office. We are the individual, right? We have to make things right to qualify for that office, and that office is a very, very important office. He said, but only the priest, the Levite, the son of Zadok, who kept the charge of my sanctuary, even though most of the children of Israel go astray from me, they will stand before me to minister before me. So we see what this purple really is standing for. These are the ones who will stand in Yahweh's presence to minister. This is what Yahweh is saying here. We are the ones going to stand before him to minister. He said, those that were before will minister to the people. We here will be ministering to Yahweh. Right, and Pastor covered this, you know, in sermons previously. The minister before me, they will be gathered together to me. He said, no, he said to classify us here. Here, listen how Yahweh classifying us here. One, he said, the finders. This is how Yahweh is classifying us. One, the finders. Two, the choicers. He said, the best. Right? He said, the best. Those who have been judged as guiltless, say Father Yahweh. Verse 16. They will enter my sanctuary, and they will come near to my table to minister before me, and they will keep my charge. So this is what we are qualifying for. Let's go down to verse 23. And they will teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, to show them to show them how to distinguish between the unclean and the clean. He said, in a controversy, they will stand in judgment, and they will judge it according to my judgment. Going back to the color purple. Great judgment. Right? He said, this is what we are going to do. He said, they will keep my laws and my statutes for all my appointed feasts. This is what we are doing here right now. Keeping Yahweh's appointment for every one of Yahweh's feasts. No one in the world is doing that. Only the house of Yahweh is doing that right now. He said, and they will keep my Sabbath, what? Holy. This is what Pastor trained us for. To keep Yahweh's Sabbath holy. I would like to read from the 11th book of Israel. He who rules us, Yahweh rule, the end of the age. All right, this is part one. It's chapter 20. Yeah, chapter 20. We'll start from verse 76. You see, the house of Yahweh is growing so rapidly. So much knowledge coming from Yahweh now that when a person leave for just a few months, you say, you know, they come back and they are amazed. And they say, what in the world is going on here? That is the amount of changes, the growth, what the color of the rainbow stands for, the greener. You say, well, they miss the teaching. So you see what Pastor going back? The teaching that makes one wiser. Closely following the teaching. You say, and of course, when they miss the teaching, then you miss out on the growth that comes with this teaching. And if you go to sleep in service, you do the same thing. You miss out on the teaching. Verse 77. He said, but Hezekiah was shown the temple and the altar and only some of the ordinances here is speaking of. But all of them are going to be concerning this temple, but only a few of the ordinances are shown here concerning sacrifices. But notice in Hezekiah 43:20-24. Now, this is the future. Remember, this is the future and going to be done very soon in the very shortcoming future. Going on to verse 81. It says, in verse 25, every day for 7 days, you will prepare a goat for a sin offering. Then, they will prepare a young bull. Lord, on Pastor goes on to say, in the middle of verse 81, say, you have got to understand the plan that Yahweh have in bringing perfection, or which he's going to bring to the world and to the universe. That's his total plan. And we are the finishing part of that plan. We are going to do it. We are going to be the ones who bind Yahshua to the altar of incense, of prayer, and the quartet along with him. 2 billion people. 2 billion people, and actually present them to Yahweh behind the curtain. So you see, Pastor had already showed us exactly what office that he is preparing us for. Right? The office behind the curtain. He said, in the Holy of Holy. He said, that's our job. So we can see more of what this color purple really represents. Right? What this color purple represents. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4. Second Timothy 4, verse 6 to 8. Now remember what the word ready means, fully prepared. Right? And listen how the Apostle Shaul made this comment. He said, for I am not ready to be offered. Meaning, well, look, he was fully ready, you know, to whatever office that Yahweh have for him. He know his time is about to expire, but in his mind, he is showing us he was fully prepared for that office. Therefore, I am not ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a righteous fight. So you see what it all boils down to? And this fight he's speaking about is not a physical battle, but that inward man he mentioned in Romans. Remember he said he saw 2 war raging members, one spiritual and one carnal. This is what he's speaking about, that fight. And also fighting to push the work of Yahweh. This is what he's speaking about. He said, I have fought a righteous fight. I have finished my course, the set course that Yahweh set for him. Say, I have kept the faith. Verse 8. From here on, there is stored up for me a crown of righteousness, which Yahshua, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. But hear what he said, and not to me only, but also to all those who love his appearance. Right? That is us. We will love to see that sight when Yahshua is returning. Only one. No one else is going to love that sight. So with this, brothers and sisters, let us, you know, work ourselves, whatever that we are lacking, whatever we are lacking to qualify for this office that Yahweh have prepared for us and Pastor is teaching us so long to obtain, let us work for that. Because this office is a very, very important office, because it have a lot more to say about, you know, this particular office. So will you all please stand? I'd like to turn the service to one of Yahweh's great priests in Yahweh's house, the great Kohen Yahshua Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my sermon today is a very famous scripture that Pastor quotes almost every sermon. It's, little children, let no man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. All right, now I'm going to be starting here in the respect unit, the Peaceful Solution Respect Unit. This is going to be in chapter 5. And it's going to be on page 115. Here in the middle of the introduction to chapter 5, it says, interactions between friends, family members, and strangers can become disrespectful if one or more persons behave or speak without considering the feelings and needs of others. How should you respond when someone treats you disrespectfully? Should you retaliate and be disrespectful in return? Or should you try to ignore the person and the situation? When someone is disrespectful to you, you may automatically want to retaliate by either attacking verbally, physically, or both. Any action that can result in harm to others or yourself is not practicing the peaceful solution or demonstrating a positive moral character. On the other hand, some acts of disrespect can have such a negative effect on us that trying to ignore them may not be possible and may in fact lead to hatred and resentment. So right there you see, we've all learned, we've all been taught about the primary and the secondary emotions, all right? When someone disrespects you, you know, the primary emotions of embarrassment or humiliation, these things come up. But it's the thoughts that enter after that. How do you act on it? Do you allow that to build into rage? Do you allow that to build into anger? How do we react to it? Do we get those emotions under control? Do we practice complete self-control? Well, self-control is controlling everything you think, feel, and do. Right? That's what it is. It's the standard of perfection. It brings us into complete subjection to where we cannot go wrong if we practice it. Look over to page 134. On page 134. He says, if you are ever, here on the bottom, he says, if you are ever in a situation where someone is verbally abusing you at school, now this is speaking of bullying, right? This is a form of disrespect. The first thing you should do is maintain your self-control and do not respond with anger. Now, as with all acts of disrespect, responding with anger will only make the situation worse. Stop, think, and recognize the verbal abuse is the first step of bullying. So what's the first steps of bullying? What's the most common form of bullying? It's verbal abuse. Okay, most acts of bullying start with verbal abuse in the form of teasing, name-calling, or put-downs. Now, I can almost rest assured, we don't have to raise our hands, but almost every single individual here has either been in a situation like that, or we've been participants of it, or we've seen it. We've seen these things take place. It says it's reported that students receive an average of 213 verbal put-downs per week, or 30 per day. Now that's for a child, right? That's in school. But it doesn't change with adults. All right, adults just turn it into making fun of each other, you know, playing games, picking on each other, you know, finding someone in the group that's in the mix of the group, someone that's in part of our, you know, that hangs around us, and finding somebody to pick on, finding somebody to put down, finding somebody, as all bullies do, that we think is a little bit weaker than us, that we can put down. And why does that occur? He says, don't pretend that it's no big deal that someone is verbally abusing you. It's a big deal. The likelihood is that the abuse will get worse. Verbal abuse over time will lead to physical abuse. Verbal abuse will lead to physical abuse. All right. Well, let's cover some ways that this verbal abuse starts. Let's cover some bullying. These articles here, these are bullying statistics. This is straight off the internet. And it says, what is bullying? Before we can discuss why people bully, we need to have a clear understanding of what bullying is. Some consider bullying to be purposeful attempts to control another person through verbal abuse, which can in tone of voice and content to such teasing or threats, exclusion, or physical bullying or violence, which the victim does not want. While some ties the feature of peer abuse and repeated activity into this definition of bullying, others acknowledge single instances and age difference in the definitions of bullying. Bullying occurs in schools, workplaces, homes, playgrounds, military, nursing homes, churches, government, you name it, is taking place. We see it rampant throughout the world right now. Now here are some different types of bullying. Why do people bully? Cultural causes of bullying, all right? In chapter 4 of the Respect Unit, it's called Respect in Society. All right, how society changes our view, or how it conditions us to where the respect no longer there. And we're going to see here, we're going to see an example of this. It says cultural causes of bullying. In culture, there is a culture that is fascinated with winning, power, and violence. Some experts suggest that it's unrealistic to expect that people will not be influenced to seek power through violence in their own lives. Researchers point out that the WWE Federation, or World Wrestling Federation as it used to be called, but it's called WWE now, as glorification of bullies in the same entertainment and point out the high rate of domestic violence means that many young people grow up expecting that violence is an acceptable way to get what one wants. All right, so children grew up seeing these things. I grew up seeing these things. A lot of us grew up seeing these things on television. You know, wrestlers getting in the ring, wrestling each other. It's an act. You know, if you didn't know it, young guys, it's fake. All right, all this stuff you see on TV, it's fake. All right? It's an act. You know, they're not actually doing anything, but the children don't see this. What the children see, now they go into their backyards and they practice on each other. Now they start setting up that mentality where somebody has to be the bully, somebody has to be the victim. And this is the way we see the entire world going on at this time. What about institutional causes? He says the institution at which bullying takes place, whether the home, the school, or workplace, does not have high standard. If it does not have high standards for the way people treat each other, then bullying may be more likely and or prevalent and have an influence on why people bully. All right, now here we have the standard of perfection. All right, we have the peaceful solution. It is perfection if we apply it in our own lives. It completely stops bullying. It completely stops disrespect if we apply it. If we fail to apply it, that's on our own part. That's where we fail. What about social issues? Now, the fact that one gets more social recognition for negative behaviors than for positive ones can also contribute to reasons why people bully. Situation comedies and reality television, as well as real-life situation in schools, for example, show that acting is more likely to get noticed than behaving oneself civilly and courteously. Jealousy or envy and a lack of personal and social skills to deal with such feelings can also be reasons why people bully. Now, we've seen examples of this in the world. Remember, Pastor was talking about Justin Bieber. All right, you see this. You see how he's acting out, how he's lifting himself up. This is what society, all right, this is what they've been taught they have to do in order to lift themselves up. But you see now the trouble they get into. They turn into bullies. They're always fighting. These things that society's taught them to do is what they do. What your teacher has taught you to do, that's what you will do. And that's what this system, this Nimrod system from the beginning has taught ever since the day of Cain. Now, bullying statistics, and this is back in 2010 when these statistics came out. But I want to read here. It says, sometimes a teen or child who has been bullied eventually becomes the bully as a way to retaliate. So right there, you see the primary emotion, all right? Maybe they were humiliated, embarrassed, or something. Well, now it's turned into secondary. Now it's anger. Now it's rage. Now they want retaliation, all right? That's not the way of Yahweh. That's the way of Satan. It says, in fact, revenge for bullying is one of the strongest motivations for school shootings. According to recent bullying statistics, a reported 61% of students said that they believe students shoot others at school because they have been victims of physical violence at home or at school. It says, according to various bullying studies, many teens and children act out violently on their peers through acts of bullying because they are abused at home. Home is where all this begins. This is where it has to start. You know, as parents, we have to take time. We have to take time to make sure our children are taught correctly. How are they taught correctly? By the examples we give them. You know, if we as parents, teachers, leaders, if the people under us, if we show disrespect to them, if we try to bully them into making them do what we need them to do because we know it's the right thing to do, it just builds resentment. Well, what if a child doesn't get enough attention from the parents? Well, we all see it. Children that don't have interaction with the parents, children that don't have a great lifestyle with their family, they don't have that family atmosphere, the way they have someone they can rely on to help guide and instruct them, we see these things. Children act out because they want to get the attention. And that's what we see, the example of Justin Bieber and stuff. We see these things of children acting out, people acting out in the world because they want the attention. They crave the attention. Here's bully side statistics. Now, bully side is a term that's used to describe suicide as a result of bullying. New bullying statistics in 2010 are reporting that there are a strong connection between bullying, being bullied, and suicide, according to a new study at the Yale School of Medicine. Suicide rates are continuing to grow among adolescents and have grown more than 50% in the past 30 years. Bullying can include various types of behavior, from physical attacks to destroying one's personal property or clothing, verbal abuse, starting rumors, name-calling, verbal attacks, online as well as forms of cyberbullying. For teens and children who feel they're being bullied, it's important to address the matter with a parent or a teacher right away. This is the same thing that the Peaceful Solution Respect book covers. It covers these things. It covers these steps to make sure, to try to find a way to take care of these. And we'll cover those towards the end of the sermon. He says, it may feel like you are telling on someone or doing something wrong, and that admission might get you in trouble with a bully later. However, this is not the case. The majority of the cases, when a bully is reported, the bullying stops because the bully is faced with dire repercussions. He says, if you see bullying occur, it is just as important to tell a trusted adult about the situation. So that's one thing we have to see. It's not if we're getting bullied, if we see these things taking place. All right, if we're sitting amongst a group of people, right? Now what was bullying here? We just covered just a little bit of it. It was rumors, starting rumors, putting people down, teasing, saying negative things about other people, whether they're true or not. Repeating these things and destroying someone's character is a form of bullying. Why? Because everyone that's hearing these things, they want to stay away from the person. They start separating away from the person. Now, if the person has a negative character and the person is intentionally trying to deceive people, trying to keep people from keeping Yahweh's laws, then we do need to separate from that person. But if it's a person in Yahweh's house, no matter who it is, and they're striving, they're putting forth effort to overcome and to get to the point where Yahweh can use them as a righteous vessel in his house, we need to find the positive things to be talking about. Don't look at the negative things. Each and every one of us have something positive about us. We need to focus on the positive things that each and every member that Yahweh called in his house. Since we didn't call the people here, Yahweh called each and every one of us here to do a job. Yahweh sees value in each and every one of us, and we have to do the same thing. That showing true respect is showing value, understanding that everyone in Yahweh's house has value to Yahweh's work. Maintaining a strong case of self-control and good self-esteem is another way to ensure you won't be a victim of bullying attacks, since bullying generally only prey on those who feel they are weaker than them. Now, how do we strengthen ourselves? How do we have high self-esteem in Yahweh's house? I'm not talking about pride. I'm not talking about lifting yourself up. I'm talking about being confident that you are doing the right thing. It is being in complete submission and listening to the one that's been sent. That builds confidence to where you're not a weaker vessel. That builds strength. That builds something, a strong foundation that you can stand on, to where now, what does anyone have to say? We're doing what's required of us to do. We're building. We're working together to build this body. Now, this is also why it's important to have a solid group of friends that will have your back if bullies do try to attack in some way. A solid group of friends. The greatest friends you can have are sitting right here in the sanctuary right now. True friends. All right, a true friend is someone who's, a lot of people say a true friend is honest to your face. You're doing something wrong, they'll be honest to your face, but they'll never go behind your back putting you down. That's a true friend. All right, a true friend does not go around tearing down someone they truly care about. Repeating negative things, making negative comments towards the person. That is not a true friend. A true friend is exactly what Yahshua Messiah is. That's what you see in a true friend. Remember Nora. Here you go. We caught this woman in the act of adultery. What do you say should be done with her? The law says stone her. Well, what about the apostle that complained about this woman anointing Yahshua's feet with this expensive oil? All right, those were bullies. Right, those were people who didn't show respect. Yahshua seen the positive things this woman was bringing forth. He seen that she understood more about the kingdom of Yahweh. She understood more about the plan of Yahweh than any of these people could ever imagine. And we have to remember, each and every one of us have to put on that same character. Each and every one of us has to put forth those same efforts. Here's some bullying. This is different forms of bullying from Family Matters. He says, in the past, people considered physical aggressiveness as bullying, and being a form of violence, it was easy to distinguish. Every physical act that was meant to hurt someone else physically was violence, and therefore an act of bullying. Well, everybody understands that. Everybody remembers growing up in school or seeing somebody in the schoolyard. There was always a bully, somebody wanting to beat up somebody else. However, the modern definition of bullying is much broader. So that made many people think there are a lot more bullying today, when in fact, it was all here all along, but it was much more acceptable. All right, bullying's nothing new, All right, nothing new at all. Remember Cain? Cain was a bully. Pharaoh, he was a bully. Herod, King Saul. You know, do you remember these things going on? You know, if they had had social media, I'm sure King Saul would have tweeted out about how much he hated King David and the things that he wanted to do with him. All right, we see these things. The only thing is we have technology that's grown in these last days to where they use it in different methods. Nora was bullied. Yosef's brothers, remember Yosef, his brothers, his own brothers sold him. They didn't respect the value of his life. Yahweh did. Cain was the first bully. It says people use different forms of bullying to threaten and intimidate and create emotional pain. Here is a list of behaviors that are considered bullying. Physical bullying. This behavior covers any active person or group of people which uses physical actions to hurt, to humiliate, and to intimidate others. Now, all those things can be in forms of hitting, pushing, poking, making someone trip intentionally, sexual harassment or physical touch without consent, abusing someone else's belongings by taking without permission, stealing, hiding, damaging them in any way. Yes, simply taking someone's possessions and hiding them as a joke. That's a form of bullying. Verbal abuse. Remember, this was the most common. This behavior is the most common form of bullying and has been around for many years, since the beginning. All right, this is a tactic that Satan uses. All right, Satan accuses us day and night. We don't need our brothers and sisters accusing us. Satan does a fine job of that. We make mistakes. Satan takes care of bringing that before Yahweh. All right, she makes sure she points out every mistake we make. On the other hand, we have Yahshua Messiah looking at the positive. Why? Because remember the scripture, he who practices righteousness. It's not he who's perfect. It's he who is practicing righteousness, putting forth his efforts into overcoming. That's who Yahweh wants in his work. In fact, in the past, it was very acceptable that people in power, parents, nobles, employers, abused their children, subjects, and employees in a verbal way, and people accepted it as part of being younger or of lower status or employed. Any repeating systematic verbal abuse is considered bullying, name-calling, insults, negative remarks regarding gender, age, race, ethnic background, religion, physical appearance, family status, economic status, skills, abilities, or group affiliation. Now, all these things are different forms of this verbal abuse. What about social bullying? This form of bullying abuses our desire to be accepted and part of a group in a negative way. Bullies who prefer this way of bullying turn the group against others, mainly because doing it directly and on their own is either too hard or not enough for them. So here you see, you know, you always see cliques. That's what they're calling the world, cliques. Groups of people that get together, all right? And if one person doesn't like another person, well, they start spreading rumors. They start saying negative things about the person. They want to try and get everybody on the group on their side so they can start shutting someone else out. All right, that's a negative character trait there. Lying about someone, spreading rumors, gossip, revealing secrets, making a fool of someone by playing a nasty joke, mimicking, excluding someone from a group or ostracizing them. All these are different types or forms of bullying. Cyberbullying. This is the modern form of bullying. We did not have this in the past, and simply because we did not have the required technology 40 years ago. So here we see these things. Remember the scripture shows in 2 Timothy, it shows remember in the last days. In the last days we're going to have these things. This is the character that we're going to see inside people. It says the only forms of communication were phones and faxes, and it was way too expensive to call someone or send a fax just to make them feel bad. All right, so it was a little bit more difficult back then. So cyberbullying uses technology to bully others verbally and socially. As technology develops and becomes readily available to all, including children and teens, it is natural that bullies replicate their abusive forms of communication from real life and to their digital communication. Now they do this to make fun of people, to threaten and intimidate someone, to spread rumors about someone, to insult someone, using negative remarks, revealing secrets without consent, gossip. Right? Remember what I was talking about, a true friend. All right? A true friend doesn't go revealing things. All right? Remember, we have counselors. We have people assigned to us in Yahweh's house. If we're having problems, that's who we go talk to. That's who we can talk to help us get through these situations. That's our true friends in Yahweh's house. Those who've been assigned to us to try and help us through these things. And I guarantee you 100%, you do not have to worry, or you should not have to worry about those things being repeated. These things are for you to guide and teach you, to get us to the point to where we need to be. Bullying has become a problem in our society. Now, that's what they said in this article, but that's false. It's always been a problem. It's always been a problem in our society since the beginning. Now, here's some interesting facts. You might want to write this down because I didn't realize how these things take place. You know, you kind of think about it, but you don't really think about exactly how we all have participated in this. In bullying, there are 7 players. All participants take part in the solution. All right, the bully, right? There's always a bully. The victim, there's always got to be someone who's the victim. All right, but what about the follower? The follower does not initiate the bullying, but joins in after the bully. So he follows, all right? He starts to follow the crowd in doing evil, all right? So you see the sins here. The passive supporter, he supports the bully, but does not bully himself. The disengaged, he does not seem to care about either side. Doesn't matter with me. Now, that's the mentality we see in the world today. I don't care what's going on in those African nations. Or I don't care what's going on in the Middle East. It's not occurring with me, so I don't care. Let them bully. All right, let them go do whatever they want to in the rest of the world. Just don't bother me. The passive defender has empathy to the victim, but does nothing. Sees someone being abused. Sees someone being bullied, whether it's at school, all right, whether it's by, and we have to be honest, you know, sometimes teachers, sometimes educators, especially in the world, they can be the biggest bullies. You know, we've seen this, you know, teachers, you know, they have a classroom of 26, maybe 30 students. You know, and a lot of times they always find one student that they use, they pick on. You know, I've seen this myself personally. And then we have the active defender. Now, this is who we need to be. We have to be that active defender. This is what Yahshua Messiah is for us. He tries to intervene and help the victim. In other words, they try to find a way to stop it, to encourage it. You know what it takes to stop a bully? For one person who's not being bullied but sees it, to point out to the bully, you know what you're doing? You're being a bully. This could be from another child. I've seen this. I've seen children tell other children, you realize you're being a bully? You know, you don't realize, you know, even parents being bullies to our children, sometimes we can. You know, when we try to get them to do things, you know, we might, you know, calling names. You know, we do these things, you know, we do it out of fun, joking. We do it with each other. But all these things, we don't understand how it affects everyone. Everyone is affected differently by these things. Most bullying is about physical appearance. You know, simply look at somebody and say, the last time I seen you, you were kind of skinny, but I'm seeing you now and you're kind of, you know, I'm not going to say it, but you're kind of round. All right, that's bullying. All right, because we have no idea how sensitive a person might be to that. And we have to understand what all goes into that. All right? Normally there's stress involved in these things. Normally somebody's already got to the point they're depressed. All right? They're depressed and they're stressed out because what does the body do when you're stressed? Well, your body thinks, you know, that's the way Yahweh designed our bodies, is that at a point in time when we're stressed, well, our bodies recognize that we need to start storing things. All right? There's famine coming. There's something going on where we need to store fat. We need to protect our bodies. And that's how the microbes work inside of our bodies. So what occurs if we're continually stressed, if we're continually beaten down, if we're continually browbeaten, right? If we're one of those people that's always in depression, that can never find something positive to look at, that's what occurs to our bodies. We bring this upon ourselves. We're the only ones that can change it. All right, Yahweh's not judging us on whether how many people bully us, how many people put us down. Yahweh is judging us on how we react to it and how we persevere through it. The same way all the apostles and prophets. All right, imagine. I'm going to send you out like sheep in the midst of wolves and they're going to kill you. Now go do your job. All right? They knew these things were going to take place. Pastor knows 100% for sure, and we've seen it. The entire world hates him. They try to bully him to get him to stop doing what he's doing. And he's not going to. We're not going to. None of us are going to. Name calling is the most common form of bullying. Bullying often occurs when there is little or no supervision around. That's why children, young men, young women, that's why there should always be supervisors somewhere. Whether you're out on the feast grounds, inside the sanctuary, there should always be someone there who can take responsibility to make sure these things don't take place. Bully children are more likely to have anxiety attacks, which will interfere with their adult lives. Bully children are more likely to develop depression, which will interfere with their adult life. Contrary to common belief, some bullies are popular and they have good leadership skills. Some leaders, they are bullies. You know, they can lead in great directions. But sometimes they'll have to bully. Sometimes there's a weakness there. Right? Now that's something that if we have it, we have to work on. You know, each and every one of us, there's certain things within our lives, we're not perfect. We have to get to perfection. We have to cross these roads. All right? We have to get to the point where Yahweh can say, now you've reached that perfection. Now you're refined as gold. Now you're bringing on that royalty, that purple. Now you're earning that. You've got it. As parents, you do not want your kids to be bullied, and you do not want your kids to be bullies. But the other players in a dynamic of bullying, it says both passive and active ones are highly influenced by bullying. If your child is not a bully or a victim, they may still play one of the other five roles and so may need help from you. So even if your child isn't being bullied or they're not the bully, all right, still, they need our help. Each and every one of us needs help. Each and every one of us, because we're some way in our life, we're seeing this. It's taking place. We have to stand up against it. Look over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7. Look at verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Now this is the scripture I was talking about earlier. Knowing these last days, and that's what they were talking about, cyberbullying. There's things, technology going on these last days where now this stuff is more evident. Know this, that the last days and perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, without truce, unforgiving, false accusers, without self-control, brutal despisers of those who are righteous, traitors, betrayers, headstrong, arrogant, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Yahweh, having a form of holiness but denying the authority of it, from such turn away. Okay, from such turn away. Now in the Peaceful Solution book, the Respect Union, on page 135, now there are ways to deal with bullies. For example, if a bully is only verbally abusive, it is wise to avoid being alone with him or her. Try to avoid that person in order to keep confrontations down to a minimum. However, if a situation should arise where you are being antagonized and provoked, then be wise and humble and get away as soon as possible. Whenever there is any type of physical attack, it would be best to inform an authoritative figure or a trusted adult. Do not keep these situations to yourself. All right, these things, if we hold on to these things to ourselves, all right, that's a heavy burden to carry. It's a heavy burden to carry, especially when Yahweh has given us so many tools in these last days. Yahweh is giving us an entire family, and that's what we are. We're an entire family that are supposed to support and build up one another. And we're here to help. We're here to assist in these things. We're turning over to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. I'll give you the page number here in a second. Proverbs chapter 6 and page 499. Starting here in verse 12. He says, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a forward, deceitful, and false mouth, and is never straightforward. All right? He winks with his eyes, and he speaks with his feet, and he teaches with his fingers. Forwardness, deceitful, and falsehood is on his mind. He devises evil continually or stirs up discord. Now remember the definitions we just read of what a bully was. All right? This is almost exact word for word. Therefore, calamity will fall upon him suddenly, and in a moment he will be ruined beyond recovery. Now look at verse 16. There are six things Yahweh hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look. Most bullies have a proud look. All right? And I'm not talking about the physical bullies. I'm talking about the verbal, right? Verbal abuse. All right? Normally you see this in their face. A lying tongue. That's what a bully does. They spread lies. They go about trying to destroy other people's reputation. Now, we have to be careful about that because destroying someone's reputation is murder. To take away someone's character, to destroy their character. We all make mistakes. But to go around repeating those people's mistakes, putting them down for it, spreading these things, belittling people because of their weaknesses, this can become murder. Hands that shed innocent blood. And that's what I was talking about right there. A mind that devises wicked imaginations. the feet that are swift to running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brothers, or one who sows discord among sisters. Right? These things should not be among us. We have the standard of perfection that we are here to use. And it's the peaceful solution. All right, the peaceful solution is what we have to have. If we applied it completely in every aspect of our lives, we would be well beyond what we are. Perfection is what it would bring. Complete perfection. Complete submittance. Our total body would be under complete subjection. Bridling the tongue, being able to control those emotions, controlling those thoughts, those feelings, not allowing them to lead to those actions or where we receive consequences. Real fast, I want to cover a letter that was sent to me. This was sent to me yesterday, actually, by a prisoner who was with the great Khan Yedidia, doing a great work. This is one of the men that he's helping with and teaching and working with. But he sent me this yesterday while I was working on my sermon, and he said, I hope you can use this one day in one of your sermons. And he didn't realize it was exactly what I needed, or exactly what I needed to go into here. So you can see Yahweh's hand at work. But the title of this, it comes from Tomorrow's Youth. Now, I guess this is an excerpt from a magazine. But he says, you are not stupid. How many times have we been called stupid? How many times have we done something and we think, stupid? You start getting the depressed feeling. You start feeling down on yourself. Your esteem gets real low, right? Well, that's when Satan creeps in, right? That's when the bullies step in because they know you're weak, right? That's what we have to guard ourselves against. Have you ever thought yourself as being less intelligent than others? Did other kids at school call you dumb? If so, how did this make you feel about the ability to learn and be considered a great student? Maybe you know someone who's like this, or maybe this is similar to your story, but many people, simply because they do not excel in certain subjects at school, are labeled as dumb or slow and are considered inferior than other better students. But are they really dumber? Are they in fact inferior? Or is it just that most traditional school systems focus on a particular approach to reading, writing, and arithmetic? What about those students whose natural abilities do not lend themselves to success in those areas? Who and what? What really is stupid? Said children should never question. They should never ask themselves, am I smart? Because the answer is always yes. That's for each and every one of us. All right, we make mistakes, all right, but remember the positive things. Even within ourselves, we have to find those positive things and build off of them. If they're asking this question, it's because they're doubting themselves, have been made to feel stupid or by something or by someone, and need to be encouraged. All right, we're all smart in different ways, and this gives different ways of being smart. Word smart, logic smart, picture smart, music smart, body smart, natural smart, people smart, self smart. There's different intelligence, all right, different things that everyone excels in. All right, we're not all great. You know, a lot of us don't like reading. All right, a lot of people don't like reading at all. Right? That's not something they excel in. So what can we find that they do excel in that we can apply and use within Yahweh's house to help build them up in Yahweh's house instead of tearing them down for the one thing they can't excel in? We have to remember we're sent here to help each other right now. You are the only hope this world has. Right? We are the completion to the plan of Yahweh. We should have the complete, perfect character, being made in the image of Yahweh by His witness, the one sent to us in these last days. We have the responsibility. We have to have the responsibility, and we have to live up to it to show respect to each and every individual, not only in Yahweh's house, but in the world. Don't tear down the body of Messiah. If someone's weak, if someone's slower than what we think they should be, it's our responsibility to find something positive to build them up and to get them firmly established in Yahweh's house. That's what a true leader is, and that's what we're all training to become. With this, I will go ahead and turn it over to the next teacher, if you'll please stand. I'd like to turn it over to my beloved brother and the great Kahan, Matithia Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh, saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. What a beautiful day here at Yahweh's house, and what a beautiful day to be called into Yahweh's house. The title of my sermon today, or my sermonette, is Yisrael Hawkins is inspiring us and don't miss out. Yisrael Hawkins is inspiring us and don't miss out. If you'll be turning over to page 753 in your book Yahweh, this is Matithiah chapter 25. On page 753, Matithiah chapter 25, we're going to take a look here at this word inspire, and we're going to take a look at exactly the tremendous blessing we have to be in Yahweh's house in these last days and to be able to sit at the feet of the greatest teacher in the world on the face of the earth, the only one ordained and prophesied to bring salvation in these last days, Pastor Yisrael Hawkins. And in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 5, this is the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. And Yeshua said, "Then the kingdom of Yahweh may be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them, while the wise took oil in their jars with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept." And Pastor says here in the side note here that not all of them, it says, see verse 7, which refers you to side note G, that not all of them slumbered and slept, but you could imagine which ones slumbered and slept out of the 10 virgins, the five wise and five foolish. And if you jump on down here to verse 13, Yeshua, or verse 12, Yeshua said, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." This was after the foolish virgins had to go out and try to get their oil, and they done missed the boat, as it were, or they missed the wagon. "Therefore," in verse 13, "watch. Therefore watch, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Therefore watch." Now this word inspire means to fill someone with the urge or ability to do something. Okay, to fill someone with the urge or ability to do something, especially to do something creative. To fill someone with the urge or ability to do something, especially to do something creative. And what is it, you know, that Zechariah 4 verse 12 tells us that the witness Yisrael would be pouring out this golden oil. Okay, and this is what we ought to be, as the great deacon said last week, we ought to be filling our jars with is this golden oil. And if we don't do these things, then we're going to find ourselves being these foolish virgins who have an empty cup. Okay, there's nothing to draw from. If you go over to Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and while you turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6, I want to read here out of the second book of Yisrael, the Going On to Perfection series. And this is in chapter 8 in the second book of Yisrael, Going On to Perfection. This was a sermon Pastor gave February 15th, 1992. This is on page 64 in the right-hand column towards the bottom. And Pastor says, "Brethren, you are going to be given such tremendous power. You can't believe unless you know the full plan of Yahweh. I would I could just open the top of your head and put in what I know about this right now. Then you would see the tremendous power you're going to have. And Yahweh can't trust that to just anyone unless you are capable of proving to him that you can handle such things without letting the hatred and the little stupid things enter in. You simply won't be given it." So Pastor's showing here this tremendous power that Yahweh is waiting to pour out to the sons of Yahweh. Okay, and Pastor is preparing, as he said many times before, his two jobs are to prepare a place for the 2 billion people to come and to prepare the holiest of the holies. And he's preparing us to be those holiest of the holies. Now this word watch here in Matithiah 25:13, it's a Greek word 1127, and it comes from word 1453. But word 1127 means to keep awake, that is to watch, be vigilant. If you remember what the great priest brought up about that word vigilant, to be hawk-eyed. Okay, to be watchful. And the word 1453 from the Greek dictionary in Strong's means to waken. That is to rouse from sleep, to rouse from disease, to rouse from death, to rouse from inactivity. Okay, so we see here when Yeshua said, "Therefore watch." Okay, we see that there would be this this awakening to this vigilance, this rousing from sleep, from disease, from death. And this is what Pastor Yisrael Hawkins has been doing with each and every one of us from the very first moment we were brought to Yahweh's house by him. Okay, because Yes, Yahweh called us here to his house through his servant Yisrael. Okay, that's the only way we came here to Yahweh's house. It wasn't no Holy Ghost belief or some heart felt feeling. Okay, Yahweh brought us here through his witness Yisrael. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, because remember what Pastor said, that we are all his children. You know, and we should take honor in that, honor and joy in being called the sons and daughters of Yisrael Hawkins. Okay, praise Yahweh. And if we don't find ourselves in agreement with that statement, we truly need to seek counsel and guidance and do some prayer and fasting, because that's the only way we're going to be receiving these positions that Yahweh is going to pour out in his soon coming kingdom, is being the sons and daughters of Yisrael Hawkins. Okay, these jobs aren't going to be given to anyone else. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, it says, And you must teach them diligently to your children and talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road and when you lie down and when you rise up. And if you look over to 6, verse 1, it says, Now these are the laws, the statutes, and the judgments which Yahweh your Father has commanded me to teach you so that you may observe them in the land you are crossing over to possess. Okay, these laws, statutes, and judgments, Pastor Yisrael Hawkins has been teaching diligently and tirelessly here in this wilderness for over 40 years, ever since he said, I believe it was in 1952, where him and his brother Jacob started the radio broadcast over there in Eastland. He's been diligently bringing these things, you know, and some of us maybe have been here longer and some of us have been here shorter amount of time, but all of this information is available for us, you know, through the books, the newsletters, the prophetic words, the broadcast, the sermons, the recordings, you know, everything here offered at Yahweh's house is for our learning and our growth to take on this perfect righteous character that we would be found fit to be wise virgins, okay? Those being able to handle this authority which Yahweh is soon to pour out to his sons. And if you go over his sons and daughters, and if you go over to Deuteronomy chapter 11, just a couple pages over on page 157, Deuteronomy chapter 11, you know, it's very important that we, you know, ourselves as parents and guardians and teachers and instructors, it's very important that we continue the same pattern that Pastor has done here in these last days of teaching diligently the laws, statutes, and judgments of Yahweh. Okay, that we don't allow the ways of Egypt, this carnal inclination and this carnal thinking and these worldly ideas to come across through our examples or our speeches or our instructions to those who are younger, because Pastor truly has a great love for the children in Yahweh's house in these last days, because he sees the great positions they will hold in Yahweh's kingdom. You know, and we as their caregivers and trainers and instructors and parents, and Pastor said, you might not have children yourself, okay, but each person you set an example for, you're teaching them, okay? So it doesn't have to be your own blood, your own flesh and blood, but everyone here in Yahweh's house, you know, we all see each other and we look upon each other, and we should be setting that perfect example of Yahweh's laws, statutes, and judgments that Pastor's been setting for us here ever since we've come to Yahweh's house. But here in Deuteronomy chapter 11, Deuteronomy 11, verse 26 and 27 on page 157. It says, Behold, I am setting in front of you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the laws of Yahweh your Father, which I am giving you this day, or the curse if you do not obey the laws of Yahweh your Father and turn aside from the way I'm setting in front of you to follow after the gods. Remember Genesis 3, verse 5. But if you go over to Exodus chapter 19 on page 60, go back to Exodus chapter 19. But remember here that this following of the gods, this way that Satan presented to Eve in Genesis 3, verse 5, this desirable way, you know, and the false teaching, the deception that you won't die if you partake of this way. Surely it won't harm you. But in Exodus chapter 19 and verses 5 through 6, Exodus 19 verses 5 through 6, this is found on page 60. And I want to read here while y'all are turning over there. I want to read a little bit more out of the second book of Yisrael, chapter 8, on page 65. And Pastor shows the extreme amount of carnality that's being offered here in these last days. He says, he was reading here, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 11, where it says, So I vowed according to my judgments that they would not enter my rest. Pastor says, now these people had very little at that time to tempt them. They weren't like our generation today who has to overcome it all and who has Satan pulling at them from every direction. Okay, and this is true. In these last days, remember the prophecy said that sin would reach its peak. You know, and the desire to sin has reached its peak and the ability to sin has reached its peak. You know, you don't even have to leave your house or, you know, take a step. It's right there, you know, laying before, behold and before you. Pastor says here in the second book of Israel in chapter 8 and page 65, we have more entertainment today than the great King Solomon had. And remember, King Solomon had everything at his disposal. But we have more entertainment today than the great King Solomon had. We have more temptations today coming at us from every direction. Remember 1 Kefa chapter 5 verse 8 for your notes about how Satan seeks about like a roaring lion seeking whom she may devour. Okay, and all these temptations coming out of the world, all these things coming forth from Christianity, from this other religion, this mixture, this tree of the mixture of righteousness and evil, all these things are designed and created to drag us from Yahweh, to bring us out of that standard of perfection, to bring us, to separate us from the love of Messiah. We are richer by far in material wealth. It's easier to come by. We have this great opportunity to sin, plus the fear of great nuclear wars that are hovering over us at all times. They are building in Europe at this time, getting ready to devastate this earth and take out 4/5 of the people, as prophecy shows. We have it all. We must remain true as Moshe did and as Yeshua did. So Pastor shows here the great examples of our forefather Moshe and our righteous high priest Yeshua, how through much temptations, and remember Hebrews, it says Yeshua was tempted in all ways as us. Without fear, we must remain true as Moshe did and Yeshua did without fear, believing and trusting always that Yahweh is going to bring us through this and give us the power he has promised. You know, and this is the great joy and relief that we get, you know, through this promise from Yahweh, you know, because we do some, you know, have to still deal partially with the world, and we can see how confused it is, and we see on the news, you know, daily how wicked it's becoming, you know, and at times it can almost drag us down, but this joy comes from the promise Yahweh has given us. Several weeks ago when we had watched the news and Pastor, he'd come up, he said, you know, this is very exciting, and he wasn't talking about the misery of the world, but he said to see the prophecies being fulfilled and to see that we are going to change this way. We are going to teach against this way. In Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6, it says, now therefore, if you will truly obey my voice by keeping my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And these are the laws that you shall speak. Okay, so we see here it requires us to put forth our effort in obeying the teachings that come from Yahweh. Okay, and these things only come through Yahweh's house, from Yahweh's chosen servant. If you'll be turning over to Proverbs chapter 5 on page 499, Proverbs chapter 5. You know, the instructions Pastor gives us, the teachings, the guidance and the guidelines and the rules, you know, in the house of Yahweh are for our growth and our benefit, that we would take on Yahweh's perfect righteous character. You know, we have to make sure we're strictly adhering to these things and strictly, planning our lives around these things, or we're going to find ourselves a part of these foolish virgins, okay, who didn't fill their lamps with oil, and when the time came, they were off running around looking for oil. Okay, we have to continue to apply all these teachings in Yahweh's house, you know, and especially we need to be guarding our children, you know. And remember what Pastor said, you know, it might not be your own children, you know, but those that you're around or with, you know, we need to be guarding them from these ways of the world. No, because everything from the world, everything that's made in the world and designed in the world is geared to get their minds off of Yahweh. You know, and Pastor told us this several weeks ago about, you know, the computers and even vehicles, you know, and internet, you know, how these things will drag a young person's mind straight out of Yahweh's house. You know, because it pulls them to lusting after the ways of Egypt, the pleasures of sin for a moment. We have to be guarding against these things you know, and not deceiving ourselves into thinking that, you know, these children can handle, you know, such temptations. You know, because remember what Deuteronomy 6 verse 7 said. There's a prophecy there that if you train up your children, if you teach them diligently, and it didn't leave no room for not teaching. It was that when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, when you rise up and when you lie down, constantly teaching and training and guiding. Okay, and if you take someone who hasn't been taught, trained, and guided, and you allow them this mixture of righteousness and evil, it will be very quick in pulling them away from Yahweh. Okay, Satan is very crafty in her temptations and the things that she puts forth in catching the minds, and especially the youth, you know, even the world. She wants to keep their minds focused on entertainment and fulfilling lust and pleasures and not at any way thinking about themselves, you know, where they're going to be in 50, 60, 100 years, you know, thinking about eternity, thinking about the fact that their bodies are dying, you know, and they need to start getting their bodies cleaned up and corrected. These things are all thrown out and pushed away without the inspiration of Israel Hawkins, okay? And so it's very important for us to continue to guard our children here at Yahweh's house by teaching and training them, okay? And that not always does it seem like they enjoy it, but these things do protect our children from the world, okay? And it allows their minds to grow in Yahweh so they can get fully grounded, okay? And their time for testing will come. But if you take a young child and you give them, you know, these gadgets, you know, and connection to the World Wide Web, you know, and you think they're going to make right choices, you know, they have a mind that's not totally developed on what a right choice is. You know, it'd be as foolish as sending your child out to a restaurant, you know, and telling them, well, get something clean. You know, they wouldn't really know what's clean. You know, they think, well, you got any beef? Because beef's clean. You know, I can't have no pork. You know, but they really wouldn't know what's clean. You know, or taking your young men or women and sending them into the military and, you know, will be a righteous example. You know, it'd be impossible for them to do. As Pastor said, when they wanted him to join the army, you know, he told them, hey, I'll teach these men and women to lay down their guns and their bombs and stop fighting. You know, and they don't want none of that. This system is geared toward advancing with their empire building and benefiting this Roman Catholic Church. But here in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 11 through 14, on page 499, it says, and you will mourn in the end times as your flesh and your body waste away. Okay, this is those who don't choose the right way. Those who go against the voice of Yahweh, against the teachings that come forth from Yahweh's house. Your flesh and your body will waste away, and you will say, how I hated instruction, how my mind resented rebuke and warning. I would not obey my teachers, nor listen to those who instructed me. Now I am on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the congregation and the assembly. Okay, and this will come to pass. You know, if we reject the teachings, the instructions, the rules, and the guidelines set by Yahweh's house, we will come to total ruin. Okay, it's occurred time and time again, and it's a sure prophecy. Okay, just as you'll be born and you'll die without Yahweh, it's the same thing that without Yisrael Hawkins and without his teachings actively followed in your life, you will come to total ruin. If you will turn over to Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. This is on page 952. And this inspiration that Pastor is giving us, you know, this filling us and encouraging us for these jobs to be like Yahweh. Okay, this is the only inspiration being offered in these last days is from Yisrael Hawkins, these teachings that come forth through him. And in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, it says, obey those who have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they who must give account. Do your part that they may do so with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And if you look over to verse 7, Hebrews 13, verse 7, it says, remember those who have the rule over you and who have spoken the word of Yahweh, the laws and the prophets to you. Consider the ultimate result of their way and follow the faith. Okay? And we see in the new newsletter that Pastor just put out here, the September 2014 newsletter, this Feast of Tabernacles appointment with Yahweh is a most important appointment. And on page 14, Pastor was saying here that the house of Yahweh was destroyed around the year 70 CE. And the house of Yahweh was the kingdom of Yahweh on earth. The house of Yahweh was the kingdom of Yahweh on earth. And if you go on down here towards the bottom, he says, yes, the prophecies show that in the last generation, Yahweh will once again establish his house and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we see again here that the kingdom of Yahweh on earth has been reestablished here through the house of Yahweh. And the teachings that are coming forth from this house are the perfect way of life, the perfect guidelines to experience the peace and joy and the abundant living. You know, and Pastor said many times before when he gave the sermons, the great series on keeping the Sabbath as Yahweh keeps the Sabbath. He said about you have to find your joy in Yahweh, that you have to find your joy in Yahweh. You have to build on these things. As the priest before me said, you know, to focus on the positive things, you know, to put away the negative, as the Peaceful Solution says, to negate the negative and to accentuate the positive. You know, build on this positivity. And this is what's coming forth from Yisro Hawkins in these last days, this positive building to get us to be ready for these jobs that are soon to be poured out. You know, and if you feel like, man, there's just constant teaching in Yahweh's house and abundance of knowledge, well, yes, that's exactly what Pastor wants, and that's exactly what Yahweh is bringing forth through his house, is a constant teaching and this abundant pouring out of knowledge, okay? No time for foolishness and stupidity or goofidity, but a time to build ourselves, to train so that we can acquire and prove ourselves fit for this position. And then here in the same newsletter, the 914 newsletter on page 8, Pastor says, the kingdom of heaven was set up by inspiration of Yahweh at the hands of Moshe, the prophet of Yahweh. He prepared all the items used in service to Yahweh, the artifacts that were put in the house of Yahweh, buildings that King Solomon built. That kingdom was rejected by the majority of the 12 tribes of Israel who had cut themselves off from Yahweh, the heavenly father, much like Cain. And the same thing in these last days, the kingdom of heaven, this kingdom of Yahweh on earth, has been set up by inspiration of Yisro Hawkins. And everything we see here in service to Yahweh, from the seven-lamp lampstand to the Ark of the Covenant, you know, to the restoration of the School of the Prophets, these things are all by inspiration of Yisro Hawkins. And these are things preparing us for the service to Father Yahweh. You know, so we should be looking at these things with joy and gladness and not allowing ourselves to be influenced in any other ways of carnality or evil or the influences of the adversary. And if you will go over here to 1 Kefa chapter 4, verse 17. 1 Kefa 4, verse 17. It's on page 960. 1 Kefa 4, verse 17. It says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of Yahweh. And it first begins with us. What will the end be of those who do not obey the message of Yahweh? And if the righteous are scarcely saved, where will the wicked and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of Yahweh commit the keeping of their souls to him, enduring righteousness as unto a faithful creator. And remember what the word inspire was, to fill someone with the urge or ability to do something, especially to do something creative. And this is what Pastor is doing. He's filling us with this golden oil, which are the righteous teachings, the laws, statutes, and judgments of Yahweh, so that we would be able to be just like our Creator Father, Yahweh, and be able to handle these positions and use the power, this tremendous power Yahweh has, in bringing peace to the universe. In the Building Moral Excellence and the preface, just quickly here, I want to read here in the preface. Pastor wrote here, before this world can ever become safe and hold a promising future for our children and grandchildren, we must first train the future leaders in the true values of peace. It may seem like an impossible task, but with your skills and the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program working together, this impossible task can become a reality. I ask you, as teachers of the future world leaders, to establish in the minds and the hearts of your students the need for peace and the need for these young men and women to use what they learn from the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program to make a difference in the world. If you will impress upon your students the great need for the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program in their lives, and show them the opportunity that they have as future teachers of the world to establish world peace in a safe environment for their children, you will have accomplished the greatest feat ever in history. You know, and Pastor is tirelessly building us to be these teachers, and he's expecting us to follow the same example of building these young men and women into these great teachers of righteousness, teachers of peace who are focused on bringing peace into the universe. If you go over to Luke chapter 21, verse 28, Luke chapter 21, verse 28 on page 808, Luke 21, verse 28, it says, so when these things begin to come to pass, you know, and think about Yael chapter 2, 28 and Acts 2, 17 about our young men and women prophesying and teaching and bringing forth this righteousness in these last days. When these things begin to come to pass, then Pastor said, cheer up, be joyful, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. And if you turn over to 1 Kefa 2, verse 9, back on page 958, 1 Kefa 2, verse 9. And we have to remember, brethren, to continue to be zealous, to continue to be zealous in bringing forth this righteous character that Yahweh is building within us. You know, never allow ourselves, as the great priest said before us, never allow ourselves to be drugged down through negativity or people, you know, trying to make it seem as if it's impossible. Okay, we've seen the great inspiration that Pastor gives us through his example, through his teachings, through everything he's given to us, okay, in these last days, that we can obtain these positions. We will be right there with Pastor at Yahweh's right hand. And 1 Kefa chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you would show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So in closing, I encourage you to continue building on this inspiration that Yisrael Hawkins is giving us, and don't miss out on these great jobs that are being offered by Yahweh in these last days. Okay, because Pastor has called us here to train for this position in Yahweh's kingdom so that we be able to live and reign with him for all eternity. And with that, if you all please stand, may Yahweh bless the rest of your feast day. And I'll turn the services over to closing prayer.